My name is Kikuchi of SMBC Nikko Securities. There are three questions. One is about the U.S., then about Japan, and then about foreign exchange rates. First of all, my question about the United States. On a pre-gap basis, as for the levels in the second quarter, it says 57 million. In the past, it was about 60 million. And net sales had been around 61 million. There are seasonal changes, but 57 million compared to last year is a higher level. But there has been, this seems to be quite low compared to the past two quarters where you have seen growth. Could it be that the consumer business decline is accelerating, or perhaps the cloud business is improved compared to the last year, but compared to the previous two quarters, perhaps there has been some lack of progress? On a pre-gap basis, on a quarterly progression, for I think that you took off on the third quarter, and do you think that things will take off again? If you have any outlook on this. Mr. Kikuchi, in regard to the consumer business, there has been a declining trend. Meanwhile, in the cloud-related business, on an annual basis, in the U.S., I believe that we can maintain our growth. Now, there is the situation of the second growth, but we believe that nothing will impact growth in the second half. There was a sudden growth in the previous year, but I believe that you're saying that the activity has increased. Then the second question is about Japan. When it comes to deferred revenue, it's been about 5% growth over the past 3-4 years, and it was growing in a pre-gap basis as well, and so we anticipated that there would be growth here. But it seems to be flat or 1% growth at most in terms of the deferred revenue. It may be logical, and on a textbook basis, it's possible that net sales will have difficulty finding growth. Could it be the change in the product mix or so on that is impacting things? But for the net sales in Japan, over the past 3 years, this had been the driving force, so I'd like to ask about the situation here. And also, in the enterprise business, there's a lack of growth. Mr. Omikawa has mentioned that there's tremendous growth here. On a quarterly basis, though, it's probably the lowest in the past 3-4 years in the enterprise market. And so I was wondering which was the case. There seems to be a gap between what was said in the presentation by Mr. Omikawa in his presentation, but was there going to be a dramatic change taking place in the second half? Whether a dramatic change will come about or not? Well, I'd like to talk about the deferred revenue, and whether there will be a dramatic change or not will be discussed by Mr. Omikawa. Now, going back 1 year ago, the three-year version that had been selling quite well, but there's going to be a decrease here. And so if we just look at the deferred revenue, then rather than say that it's at going to decelerate at 1%, there was a structural temporary growth that has now gone back to previous levels. Meanwhile, for the consumer market, as Mr. Omikawa has mentioned, there's a decrease in the population. The number of PCs is also decreasing. So most likely, if we look at just the existing sales in Japan, we cannot expect that much growth. And so there's growth in the new areas, but the amounts involved are still low. And so it's difficult to depend on growth from those products alone. As for when there will be dramatic growth, Mr. Omikawa can touch upon that. In the enterprise area and the commercial area, for the past few years, it is true that there was the situation where we got double-digit growth, but with deep security and deep discovery, there had been a unclear situation, but 2 years ago or from last year, from the first quarter and second quarter of last year, we have seen a major jump forward. Meanwhile, for the complete user protection, there's the area of gateway security, which represented a negative factor, and there was the shift to UTM, which we were not able to respond to, so that this offset things, so that we had difficulty in achieving double-digit growth. But now we have finally delivered UTM, and things are going well, and we have the new Office 365, and so we have the products in place, and delivery will start from September, so in the second half, in the commercial area, we believe that growth can be achieved. I'm confident about this. I see. The third point that I'd like to ask is about the exchange rates. You're looking at 118 yen to the dollar, whereas it's 124 yen to the dollar currently. And so the net sales may see an upside. But in terms of profits, when I discuss this, I'm always told that there's not going to be much impact. But to go into detail, in the past, in the U.S., it was dollar-based denominated payments and revenue were not counted on that basis, but now it's on a break-even basis. And in the U.S., the headcount has increased, and the marketing costs may be quite high in the United States. So the situation may reverse itself. On a U.S. dollar-denominated basis, what would be the situation of profit and losses? And also, under the current exchange rates, is there no impact on profits? It's difficult to do this just on a line item analysis, but on a dollar denominated basis for PL, what is the situation? This calculation is quite complicated, what you asked about, Mr. Kikuchi. In regard to the US dollar denominated PL situation, how we perceive this, there is the royalty aspect that you may be asking about. Well, you talked about the dollar denominated basis, and for what is the impact on profitability based on exchange rates alone? In profits, it's a negative situation. The major factors are not just because of the dollar, but also in Asia. In regard to the payments made and the revenues coming in, the costs have been excessive. And in Asian cost, most of it is in renminbi, or in the Taiwanese currency. Meanwhile, when it comes to Australia, we're seeing the Australian dollar that is weak like the Japanese yen. So that in costs, it is linked to the dollar and increasing, but revenues, the costs are excessive, but it is not keeping up with the situation of the Australian dollar. And so we have a FX negative situation. And so for Q2, 300 or 400 million yen negative exchange rate impact is coming to us. There's a euro and the dollar and the Asian currencies and Latin American currencies, so that on a total basis in Q2, it's a negative impact of 300 to 400 million yen in exchange rates. And this is something that's been explained before, but for a weak yen, it's a negative factor on a PL basis for us. And when it comes to it's different from export-oriented Japanese companies. Our expenses are in other currencies, not yen. And so if it's a weak yen, it's a negative factor for us. And for the past 2 days, there's been the devaluation of the renminbi that has taken place. And so when you have a devaluated renminbi, this could be a positive factor.
Thank you. My name is Eguchi. I have some questions about revenue and profit by region. This is not necessarily representative of the profit of that particular region. I understand that. For consumer business, especially for domestic business, you have seen strong growth at 9%. So new business, renewal for consumer, and the profit impact. I know that revenue is increased, but if you look by region, there is a decrease. So maybe the mix is worsening, and maybe it's a negative factor. I understand that top line is very strong, but in terms of profit, how do you see it? In terms of renewal versus new business, and what is the unit price, and what is the trend for margin? Thank you. One thing we cannot control is the exchange rate. We provide forecast, but depending on which way it goes, it will have an influence, and sometimes it has a negative influence on the profit. But we want to be strategic as a company. For cloud security and deep security, we want to make active investments to grow these businesses. And we have many startup competitions. So we need to make some investment in the first place without really thinking about the profit too much. Otherwise, we'll be too late against our competition. So we will be making active investments in those areas. And when we provided the annual outlook, we indicated that this was one of the reasons why the profitability will not improve. And another thing I want to mention, which was mentioned during the earlier presentation, is the variance in terms of stock prices change, stock price changes, and also performance-linked bonuses. And there is nothing during the first half, so profit amount may seem to be higher year-on-year because we have not paid those expenses. And if our performance improves during the second half, we will have to pay this, so that will be a negative impact on profit as well. But the variable portion is really based on performance, so it's explainable. We want to be strategic for cloud-related products and deep discovery. We want to make active investments. That's a strategic priority for the company. For consumer business, I know that your competition is struggling in Japan and your market shares are increasing over time. But in terms of P&L, you do promotion and you're spending a lot of cost to get these numbers. I don't really see how this will help over the profitability. PC is declining, and I think this is one of the foundation for the domestic revenue. So how do you see the profit going forward? Doing promotion, and does that really sustain the profitability level, or how is it going to change in the future? We will do the same as what we did in the US. In other words, we don't want to run deficit. If we cannot secure a certain amount of profitability, we will not do that business. And we have a good balance in Japan. And as you mentioned, it may be difficult to increase the profit, but the current level of profit can be maintained, we believe. Specifically, if you go to the storefront, you will see our products being not pre-installed anymore. So that's a major cost reduction. In terms of retail marketing, I believe that we spend much less than our competitors. So we try to do something that is really effective. And retail unit price is increasing. For example, white package provides services, and there is a strong demand for service. And that service portion can generate several billions of yen. And we do not necessarily receive the service calls all the time, so there is no negative impact on profit from that perspective. Thank you.
Same.
My name is Jaffe Sato of Jaffe Securities. In regard to the 52% increase in cloud-related area, what is the percentage of impact of foreign exchange rates? And also on a regional basis, U.S. seems to be highly weighted, but in terms of growth rates, is it highest in Japan or Europe? First of all, the FX impact is not that great. There's the dollar evaluation and the euro depreciation, so the impact is not that great. And in Eva's presentation, there was mention about this, but deep security increased in revenues by 47%, and this 52%, there's not that much foreign exchange impact here. And on a regional basis, were you asking about the growth rates or amounts? Both the rate and the amounts would be appreciated. I believe in amounts, it's higher in the United States. I'm not sure about the growth rates, but maybe number one in Europe, just for this particular quarter. If we look at the product mix, in the first quarter, U.S. represented over 50%, and Europe was about 20% or so. But is that the breakdown now? It hasn't changed that much. Thank you very much.
I'm Tanaka from Mitsubishi UFJ Morgan Stanley Securities. I have two questions. First question about cloud business revenue. You expect high growth in the second half as well, Mr. Negi, but fourth quarter seems to be much higher than the rest on the graph. Is this going to be really happening? Yes, this is growth, and with deferred revenue, it will be a little bit lower, but there's seasonality, and also in US and Europe, the revenue will concentrate in that quarter. So we believe, seasonally speaking, that's what's going to happen. Okay, second question. Daimler Chrysler and automotive security is a major issue in the United States. I'm sure that we'll be seeing more problems. So do you have any initiatives at Trend Micro, including ECU?
So we call it the IoT security, and IoT security actually has three components. The first component is that in the device, you need to put some security in there, and usually you need to work with the manufacturer. It takes a long time to do. The second way to do the security is on the gateway, on the network layer. When, for instance, the Chrysler car come home and it connect with the home network, you can do some inspection on that, and that is included in our consumer product and also the enterprise manufacturer facility. We use this type of a solution. The third part is the cloud, because a lot of the product, the IoT, they send information to the cloud, and this information in the cloud need to have great protection, and that is one of the reasons that our deep securities product was very important for providing this type of cloud security. So we do participate in all this IoT security area.
So you already have existing technology that works. What about future initiative or collaborating with some other company? Or do you have any plan of how big you want to grow this business? Do you have any specific vision or plan in place?
Technology-wise, we do have the technology, I'm pretty sure. And we are working with some of the manufacturer. For instance, some home appliances manufacturer that they really, you know, home appliances, they really don't know anything about patch management. Why do my refrigerator or my air conditioning need a patch? So we do work with them and transfer this knowledge, and some of our code was licensed to them. But how big is this type of in-device security? I really hard to predict.
Tanaka-san,
Mr. Tanaka, do you write a report based on your vision or on your dreams? No, I do not. Did that answer your question? Anything else?
A little bit, because it seemed to me that you all have the profitability questions, right? So first of all, Trend Micro's business model has always been, we are software business. So you need to, for software business, you need to be scalable. The initial investment could be big, but once you reach a certain amount, then your product, your profitability will go much higher. It's not like hardware business, your profitability is always like this. It will be like this, and then it go up like this. So we always very cautiously maintain that type of business model. For instance, I introduced this, the code name for that big data analytical tool is called Luwak. For instance, for Luwak, if we make it as selling, just sell that Luwak solution, then you can imagine there's only few customer, big customer that will use this. It's not scalable. You will need to invest a lot of sales force. But instead, we make that as the tool for our partner to sell more of our Trend Micro product. So the profitability is not being affected. Also, Omega-san mentioned about that we get into UTM business. But our UTM is very different. Our UTM is so-called cloud UTM. It's not a big machine hardware that you need. We have a smaller machine, and all the intelligence and all the updates actually connect with our smart protection network, and even advanced threat analysis is done in the cloud, and therefore the hardware is not going to be our major cost in that business. So I just want to address that concern that our profitability at times when we invest a lot in new business, it will go down. But eventually, our business model is a scalable business model.